What is it you want? Real estate.
It's the Red Hot Real Estate Show, where we can all find out how's it going for buyers and sellers in the real estate market.
I have died and gone to real estate heaven.
Looking to move? Hoping to sell? Call in with your questions to real estate expert Mimi Shoneman with RE/MAX Results.
I'm going to go out and buy a house.
Here she is, your host, Mimi Shoneman.
Yes, Mimi is here, the host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show and part of the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results. Hello, Ms. Mimi.
Good morning.
I'm very excited to hear, and you brought in a good friend from Sierra Pacific Mortgage. Ms. Shelley Ferris is with us as well.
Good morning, good morning.
Everybody looks so perky today. Like, we're very excited to talk about the subject matters that we have today. I'm like, people walked in ready to go.
Yeah. Or,
like,
no, like, or three pots of coffee. One or the other.
Yeah. Okay. It could be either. It could be. But it still works out for our team that want to listen and learn some information today.
Absolutely.
You caffeinated benefits everyone.
Absolutely. 100%. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Before everything gets going, you have to do that.
Yeah.
So, Shelley Ferris, mortgage expert with Sierra Pacific, what are your numbers you must share with the world?
Oh, that's right. Yes, we have to do that business.
Yes.
So, the company is 1780 and my NMLS number 367826.
Did that from memory.
Yes. I closed my eyes and saw it.
I'm glad that she did.
There's
that.
There's a test later.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, thanks, everybody, for a great week. We want to let everybody know that we're excited to be talking with you. We know that the spring market is on your mind.
Yes.
Big time. So thank you for all the calls and emails and texts and that sort of thing. So we want to share with you a little bit about what's going on in the Twin Cities metro area. And this comes as a weekly market activity report from the Minneapolis Area Association of Realtors for the week ending February 1st, which is the most recent data that we have. So our new listings, let's talk about that elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so don't fall down or have a panic attack or faint like a possum. I'm all about possums these days.
What have you been watching on National Geographic?
In my backyard, we have a possum.
Oh, really?
And I love her. We've named her Penelope.
That's a good possum name.
It isn't it?
That's a very appropriate possum name.
But they have panic attacks. I've read about this. And then they faint. So they really for real do when they get anxious.
Oh,
and
no.
Like rigor mortis faint, lay there.
Playing possum.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Okay. So don't hurt them when they're like that. Anyway, enough about possums. Call me if you want to get into my possum club, you know, because I'm
but
all
we
about
don't,
it right
you
now.
Want to, we don't want our listeners to play possum and hide out. We also don't want them to do the ostrich thing and put their head into the sand. We want them to come out, take this information, and we can help them move forward.
So think about how big Minneapolis-St. Paul metro area is. Let's just all get a visual of this. It's what, 13 counties?
Mm-hmm.
It's millions of people. Okay, for the week ending February 1st, new listings, we had 978.
Wow.
That's it. For all of us millions of people looking for properties.
That's
amazing. All price points everywhere, okay? And our pending sales, they increased 6.1% to 904 are under contract. And our inventory went down again, almost 16%. So in all of the whole metro, we have 7,621 homes for all millions of us looking for property.
Wow.
So let's all just take a deep breath and kind of process all of that. So our median sales price has gone up yet again, almost 8%.
Oh, okay.
To $278,200. And our days on market decreased only just under 2% to 56 days. So I think that's actually, even though the stats say it went down, it's actually, you know, it's kind of average for what this time of year is. And our percent that our sellers are getting of their original list price is 97.3%. And that's across all price points. So our
sellers, they're getting close to what they list the price the house at if it was listed appropriately, you're saying. So maybe if they listed it too high, they might have to roll it down a little, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's what we're seeing. So when we talked last year about how little inventory there was, I believe that we were sitting at right about 2.6 months. And a normal market is between 5 and 6 months of inventory for everybody. That means everybody's happy. Sellers are happy, got plenty of buyers. Buyers are happy, got plenty of houses. So we were low at 2.6. Anybody want to take a stab at where we are now?
Ruh-roh.
1.6.
No. Oh, my goodness.
1.6 months of inventory.
Wow.
Granted, it is February, so we're having to do lots of creative things to find inventory for our buyers. There's no question about that. and they're being very savvy and being very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Now, what I am seeing is what I think that sellers are using. What are those spectacles called when they see things? Rosy glasses?
Oh, yeah. Rose-colored glasses? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What I am seeing is that I think that when I show properties and I look at the information, when I do a CMA about it, and I don't see anything that can remarkably get close to what they're asking for, they're just taking a stab, just shooting right. blanks out, and like,
so well, they're just picking a number that they think they can get.
Let's try this. I think we can get that. But yet, when you look at the numbers of sold around them, there's not anything that supports it.
Okay,
so
then what happens?
Here is what we're finding is a little bit of a conundrum. So when we're having consultations with our buyers, we're talking about this point because, yes, you can offer them the moon. And unless you're a cash buyer, the appraisal really, really matters.
Right.
Right, Shelley?
Exactly. That's the big, there's the elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you can.
Is that you want the house, right. You want to give them that money, yes. But the appraisal does not say that the house is valued at what they want.
Right.
You know, if you're getting financing, Shelley, and we'll let you talk a little bit about this in a minute, but you have to be aware. You have to make a smart offer. So let's just talk about, you go over and above because you're in competitive offers. You know, you got highest and best, it's called. Everybody's sweating. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, I'm so close. I just know it. This is right. The one. But yet you have to be reasonable about how high you will go unless you've got some cash saved up, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's just say that the appraisal comes in $5,000 lower than what you offered. And you, let's just say, are using down payment assistance and you have $1,000 to put into the whole transaction of your own money. You're not going to have that money to make up the difference.
Right. Right.
We're short.
Right. Exactly.
We're short.
So the problem is that these, especially in the spring, we have experienced this in the Twin Cities market for many years, not just the short inventory years, but mm-hmm. always February and March are challenging because the appraisers have to go off of sales that have happened in the last 3 months. And as we all know, if you're going to sell something and close in March and you do the appraisal at the end of February, they're looking at comps from December, January, and February.
Okay.
So the sellers out there are going, wait a minute, my realtor told me that it was worth this and we took the highest offer and they were willing to pay it. And how can this guy, this third party, he hasn't been around whatever, that he can just say that it's worth this versus what they're willing to pay for it. Well, those are the guidelines that the banks and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac require these appraisers to use comparable sales, not what the buyer is willing to pay for it true value to the lender who's putting all the money out there.
Right.
So we first have to realize that that's the problem. And then exactly what Mimi said, you're going to contract to buy a house for $300,000 that was on the market for $280,000, maybe that was even a press.
Yes.
And now it comes in at $280,000. The value comes in at $280,000, but you've agreed to pay $300,000. So you've got a $20,000 gap that you've agreed to cover that the bank's not going to help you with because they're not going to lend you more money than the appraiser says it's worth.
How do you help people navigate that decision when they're there? I'm like, do they have to just walk away with the deal or what ends up happening?
Well, there are a lot of things can end up happening. I do think that a phenomenal number of buyers believe in their heart of hearts that if the house doesn't appraise, then the seller will lower the price down to the appraised value. But there is no guarantee that that will happen. So let's just talk about the multiple offer situation. So you came in, they picked you, you're lucky. Maybe they have a stack of offers that they could go back to. Maybe yours was only a smidge better than somebody else.
Right.
And maybe they say, well, we're just going to cancel the purchase agreement because the house didn't appraise. Now you can't get your financing. Deal's done. You're out. And we go to offer number two. Call offer number two. Are you still looking? Yes, we are.
Okay.
Boom.
Right. Exactly.
And,
and now weird things can happen because now 3 weeks have happened since you've offered that offer and the deal falls through because the appraisal comes in and it's lower. And now new comps have sold. So the next appraisal might come in higher than what the last appraisal came in at.
See, they're looking at comps when the market is at the slowest.
Okay. Right?
So, if you're looking at comps from December, they're going to probably be lower than if you looked in May.
Okay.
Number one month to sell. So everything factors into those things. So you have to be really careful. I mean, Ms. Shannon, if your house didn't appraise, let's say.
Right.
And you've already called the moving truck. You've already turned in your notice.
Yeah.
You got no place to go. They've already rented your place.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue.
Yes.
So you have to be, as much as you, let's just say that you're pre-approved, Shelley, for up to $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
Do you dare go all the way up to the top knowing that you don't have any wiggle room?
There's no room. Exactly.
It depends on, you know, what kind of poker player are you?
Right.
Are you conservative?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to roll the dice? What are you going to do?
Right.
And you've put your earnest money on the line. Am I right? I mean, you've offered this money up to say, hold this house for me.
Earnest money. My opinion, if you can't qualify for financing because the appraisal didn't come in, you get your earnest money back.
Okay, good.
It's tough to keep somebody's earnest money, and that's a whole different show that we could probably have an attorney come in and talk about. But you have to be wise about your offers, and it does really hurt to be beat out in multiple offers over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to give you some more information about making a wise offer. And we're also going to have our good friend Shelley Ferris talk to you about if you have some credit problems, some income problems, she wants you to call her because she has information on how you can navigate those waters as well. So remember, the number is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on My Talk 107.1. Shelley Ferris from Sierra Pacific Mortgage. Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Groups and REMAX Results are with us. And they're giving you some information. We're also willing to take your calls not only down the road, but also today. If you want to have any of those questions answered today, call us at 651-641-1071.
Yeah, so we just want to wrap up the whole appraisal thing. And if you happen to have had some snafu with your appraisal, we'd love to hear your story.
Absolutely.
How did it go? What did you do to resolve things? Now, I will say that I have had instances where the appraisal was way off. And, you know, if your buyer or seller are willing to pay for another appraisal, you can do that. And especially if you've got the time to do it and the discrepancy is great
mm-hmm.
and you don't have the wherewithal to make that up. Except if you are an FHA buyer. Right, so you want to explain that a little bit,
Shelley? So that FHA appraisal sticks to the property for 4 months. So it's based off of a case number that's pulled that's attached to that address, and that FHA appraisal then sticks to that home. So sometimes you go into a perfectly good home and you wonder why the agent is only offering cash and conventional. It could be because that FHA appraisal wonked them out here about a month ago, so they don't want to go down that road again.
Right. And it could be that the house has it has issues.
Yes.
If you've got peeling paint, you always will need to address that if you're planning on accepting FHA buyers, because they will always flag that. Same mm-hmm. thing if you've got steps that don't have handrails. Mm-hmm. What else, mm-hmm. Shelley?
Broken glasses. Those are two really common ones. Yeah. Broken windows. Right. Just kind of think health and safety. If you've got any wires that are hanging, they could even be dead. But if they're hanging in your garage, they need to be tacked in. The garage door opener has to have the automatic, that's almost always have anymore. But it's all health and safety. That's what they're all based on.
And I will say, if you open your house up to FHA buyers, you will have they will blow your doors off getting into your house to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many people out there that need that type of financing.
Right.
And what type of buyer needs FHA financing?
So anybody who has, thank you for asking that, because I have a whole drawer full of FHA poor people that keep getting turned away because all the sellers want are conventional, but they're perfectly good buyers. They may have had a bankruptcy. They may have had some job stability issues, but if they are a pre-approved buyer today, that shouldn't bother you. It shouldn't matter.
Right.
Maybe they have a little bit lower credit score. Maybe they don't have as deep of a credit profile. There's all kinds of reasons why buyers are more acceptable FHA than they are conventional, and it does not mean they are scratch and dent. They are decent buyers
yes.
needing homes.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and there could be lots of things, right? Life changes can trigger mm-hmm. Reasons that things happen to people. Divorce, death, all sorts of things like that right. are out of people's control sometimes. So don't overlook the FHA buyer if you are able to get your house into the condition that it needs to be. So Shelley,
yes.
let's talk a little bit about we've talked about the market rates.
Mm-hmm.
let's talk about your specialty, the credit Contessa.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Let's talk credit. I love talking credit. So many loan officers shy away from it, but I really do love it because there's just so much you can do with it. You know, it's like a moldable hunk of clay right in front of you. That's the way I
look
at it.
Which I appreciate your enthusiasm about it, because I think as a person who is just navigating those credit waters, you just go, so much of this, it seems counterintuitive. Once I do something bad, I feel like I'm going to be mad at myself and need to come from a position of, oh, I did this horrible thing. It's never going to get any better.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So to have somebody go, no, I will talk you through all of these things.
Oh my goodness.
Is of such value.
And there's so many things that we can do that put you on the fast track today that, you know, people will look at their Credit Karma or whatever app they have, the app du jour, whatever it is.
Well, because every credit card, every bank things, I feel like everything I have right now has a, do you want us to monitor your credit thing? Like, to the point that I'm like, all of these things are duplicating things. And so I'm going,
and well, don't you wonder?
Yes.
Like, hey, how come my credit card credit score is 9 million and my Credit Karma is 620?
Right, exactly.
What in the heck happened there?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can tell you that.
I know what the answer is. Well, I am excited.
So, if you call me or if you look at your credit and you don't know what to do, Shelley, I have been working on this for what seems to be 3 years and may have been 3 days, but it seems like 3 years and I don't even know where to start. You need to raise your hand, folks.
Yes.
You just need to raise your hand and call us.
And you
know, we will help you with that.
We know our listeners know lots of folks, right? You know the ones that are still renting. You know your student that's been out of college for 4 or 5 years and they're just renting. And
or in
just,
your basement.
They're in your basement. You do their laundry, make their meals.
Fill their gas tank. Oh my God.
These are fabulous referrals for Shelley and myself.
Right.
We'll help them get a house.
Yes.
And your grocery bill will go down.
Yes. Because they won't eat your food.
Win, win, win. So when I meet with people, when they say, Shelley, I don't know what to do. I don't make late payments. I can't make my score go up. What do I do? So the very first thing that I'm going to tell you we're going to do is we're going to meet. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to meet. We're going to look face to face. We're going to look at your credit. And I'm going to do that nice Sierra soft pull on your credit. It's not going to affect your score. And I'm going to be able to assess it from a mortgage standpoint. Because remember, and we've talked about this in weeks past, the credit card industry and the car loan industry and the insurance industry all have their own way of determining what your credit score is. They base heavier emphasis on one thing or another, or balances or new credit that's opened or whatnot. And mortgages score our own way.
Right.
And so I'm going to look at your credit report from the mortgage standpoint and tell you what to do. So, for example, if it tells me that your the credit line history that you have and the payments and the amount owed and everything, I can like look at all of that and assess for you. This is all you have to do.
Okay.
Just did this for a guy last week, as a matter of fact. And we looked at the whole thing. And it was one of those really puzzling ones where I kind of shrugged my shoulders and went, good gravy, Maria. What are we going to do with him?
Right. Huh. Mm-hmm.
So we had him, had his dad add him to a credit card. We've talked about this in the past.
Right.
And score popped 45 points. He had just been declined for a refinance from the place who he's currently making his payment to. That's frustrating.
Oh, I'm sure. You're like, I'm already giving you money.
Right. I already tell you every month. You know me. I've been with you a year. I've never missed a payment. Nope.
Right.
We will not refinance you. And popped his score, and he closes here at the end of the month on a refinance, reducing his interest rate more than a percent.
Wow.
In a matter of 2 weeks' time. That's all it took.
And so why did you, do you know, why did they decline him?
Because of credit score.
The credit score.
That's all it was, credit score. So when you get told no out there, folks, please don't take that. I take no as a challenge.
And the other thing about having you do an assessment, because I know I've had Shelley look at my things, is that she'll also tell you, hey, even if you got better, it's not going to affect you any different. So just don't make anything worse.
Right.
So like, she'll be very honest with you and go, can you just stay here? Like, don't mess anything up and you're fine.
Yeah.
And it's good to, and it's just good to know sometimes that, that you have made wise choices.
We tell you the good along with the bad.
Right, exactly. Shelley, you could do all this other stuff, but it wouldn't make things any better. So spend your time doing other things.
Right.
You know?
Shelley is like rolling her sleeves up and flexing those guns.
Yeah, exactly.
She's like, this is my wheelhouse. This is what I love.
Yes. I know. That's that. I know. Sometimes sometimes I take a no from an underwriter a little more challenging than others. But most often I'm like, oh, you're wrong. We're just going to figure
gonna
out.
This
like,
out.
We're going to figure out where you're wrong and we're going to fix
Don't
it.
Don't tell me no.
Right. But right. I think that that is fantastic because that's what keeps people a lot of people from even trying. Is that they got a no once, maybe mm-hmm. it was a while ago,
right.
but they were so wounded by getting that no that yes. now they don't even want to ask.
Right.
And so instead of going, okay, we are going to get a no, you're going to tell them, here's how we get to yes.
yes.
And it may take a minute, but you're not going to just turn them away
ever
and slam
ever.
A door in their face.
Ever and ever. That's mm-hmm. right. Exactly. I will give homework.
Yes.
I am not afraid to give homework.
Right.
And I'm also not afraid to tell you reality, but at the end of the day, that's what you're looking for. You're
right.
looking for somebody to tell you real what I need to
okay.
do.
Let's dummy that down. Homework. Okay. A lot of people get frozen. They get paralyzed
yes.
by that word.
You're right.
You know, they had an algebra teacher slap them on the knuckles in Richmond, Kentucky.
God knows I loathed homework. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about what that really looks like.
Right.
You know, when you say, when I give you homework, this is what it might look like.
Right. Good. Great. Okay. So let's say that you come in and we pull your credit score and it needs 70 points. So I have, and when I say needs 70 points, I mean, in order to achieve the goal that you're looking to do.
So the payment, the certain rate. Okay.
The down payment, maybe you need down payment assistance. You need this credit score to achieve that. This is the goal. So I have a little like wizardry that I can put my your credit report through. It's called a what if simulator.
Right.
Doesn't that sound really cool? What if simulator. And so then we put your credit report in it and it tells me, hey, if I had an extra $500, where should I apply it? Hey, this line says that I paid it off, but I didn't. So should I get or I did. So it just says that I didn't. Sorry about the confusion.
Yes.
And then I get a letter from mm-hmm. the creditor that says that, yes, it's paid to zero. So now what's that going to do to my credit report? Sometimes when the creditor from a collection reports zero now, guess what happens? Your score goes down.
Oh, because you don't have enough lines.
Right.
OK.
Or because mm-hmm. it's an updated information on a negative account. So I know that because I've experienced this in the past. So I would tell you not to do that.
Right.
Okay, don't do that. But you wouldn't know that. You would apply logic and rationale to your credit report and you'd say, I bet if I paid this thing to zero, we'd be good.
Exactly.
But you wouldn't be.
Okay, so that is really great information. We're going to finish up talking about that on the next break. And we're also going to talk about a bunch of links that we have on the show page.
Right. And if you have any questions, call us, please. Be part of the Red Hot Real Estate Show at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on MyTalk 1071 and streaming on MyTalk1071.com. Mimi Schoeneman, your host of the Red Hot Real Estate Show and licensed realtor from the Red Hot Real Estate Group at REMAX Results. Plus, Shelley Ferris, our credit contest. Mm-hmm. From Sierra Pacific Mortgage. And we are talking about credit today, and we're taking your questions at 651-641-1071. But you can call in and you can get a lot of information, a lot of resources, right?
100%, yeah. And something that we love doing is helping people find realtors in different cities and states. And so we were fortunate to have somebody ask us for help in that department this week. And we reached out in a different state, found a few good realtor referral partners that would work for them. This is really the perfect time of year to be thinking about that. So let's just say, Ms. Shannon, that you're going to go to Arizona for a winter break.
Yes.
Or you might go to Texas or California, or you might go to Florida or South Carolina, someplace warm. You just want to get out of this stuff because you don't want your ice house to go down in the lake. I've learned about this week. So there's so many things about Minnesota that I don't know yet still. And I'm like, what do you mean there's a deadline to get those things
off? You got to get them off the lake. Yeah,
it's in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I've learned.
You got to get off the lake.
So,
yeah.
FYI. Yep. So if you are going on vacation, let us help you find a cool realtor where you're going and look at property down there because everybody knows you're eventually going to move in the winter.
Right.
To someplace warm. If you can. If you're smart.
Right.
So that's a service that we offer. But we also post a lot of really great show links on our show page here at MyTalk 107.1. And our keyword is red hot. That's what you plug in and you can go in. We have new guides. The spring guides are coming soon, so we update those quarterly, and we've got all kinds of information. If you're going through a hardship in your life, like a short sale or a divorce or probate, things like that, let us know. We'd love to help.
Right, and we are going to get back into asking, answering some questions about what might be going on in your credit scenario, but we also want you to be part of the Red Heart Real Estate Show. So I know we had a question. Do we have that question, Sonny, or do we, like, that one went away? Okay, so what we'll do is you can always call in and be part of the show at 651-641-1071. That's 651-641-1071. But Shelley, when we're talking about people's credit scores, mm-hmm. there are lots of different things in the background mm-hmm. that we may not know as lay people, but you can sit there and talk us through that mm-hmm. whole scenario.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. That's kind of part of the homework. I got derailed there on Mimi's question in the last yes. segment. Mm-hmm. But so, like, some of the homework that I give people is pay down debt, increase your credit line.
Okay.
Sometimes, like, when I pull your credit report, it shows 6 months of on-time payments with your car loan that you got 6 months ago. But at the seventh month, your credit score is going to elevate a little bit.
Okay.
And on the 23rd month, it's going to elevate a little bit. But on an installment debt like that, where you pay the same debt every month to yes. pay off the debt, that's really all you're going to get out of it.
Okay.
So don't think that if you pay your car loan off early that your score is going to pop, because now that's a trade line that's no longer going to report. So mm-hmm. you actually shot yourself in the foot.
So right. I find all of this up and down stuff really fascinating. So let's just say that you are an existing homeowner and you're thinking about moving up to a house.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have been that person that wants to pay the house off early.
Mm-hmm.
So you make more your payment is higher than what you're required to pay every month mm-hmm. on your existing home. Mm-hmm. How much does that help a person when they're getting ready to move to the next place?
So it doesn't help their score at all.
Okay.
But it does help their equity position, because we've talked about this too on the Red Hot Show, that if you make one extra principal and interest payment in a year's time, you shave your 30-year loan down to 23 years. You take 7 years of interest off. So that certainly helps you when you list, because now you've paid more money towards that principal, less interest has accrued on that extra money you've paid forward, and now you have more equity when you sell. So that helps.
Okay. So I do have another question that's completely off topic, or maybe it is. So equity stripping.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing much of that?
What does that even mean?
Shelley?
Okay. So equity stripping is when you, let's say that you put 20% down payment on your house and then you live there for a while, it appreciates in value, you get a home equity line of credit up to the maximum of that what your home is worth, and now you pay off your car, you pay off your credit card or whatever, and so overall your, like, living debt is great, but then when you go to sell, now you've got 100% of what the value of your home is in loans.
Ah, okay.
So you can't pay the realtor. You can't pay somebody's closing costs. You can't sell. You can't sell, right?
So are you seeing a lot of consumers out there trying to take out home equity lines of credit when they purchase? Or do they come to you after they've already purchased to get that product?
Some on the after, not so much on the before, but I'm seeing where people are right now doing a lot of cash out refinances. So the only good thing about that option is that you can't go to 100%.
Okay.
So you're leaving yourself some room when you're doing a cash out refinance. Conventional is 75%. FHA is 80% now cash out refinance.
Okay.
So you're leaving yourself some equity if you do it that way versus an equity line, separate loan, second mortgage, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And that has its own loan to value requirements. But again, it won't usually let you go all the way up to the top. But that's how they're doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot
you're
of that.
Right. Cash out. Yep.
Okay. So what is the benefit of somebody cashing out like that? And so the closing cost on a cash out refi would be about the same as a purchase.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, about 1% as a ballpark.
Right.
So what would be the benefit of them doing that versus going ahead and establishing a line of credit where they can, you know, have it there if it's necessary,
and
you know,
pay it
and then
off,
pay off, and then yep. have it still there.
Right, exactly. So cash out refinance is a static loan. It's the same as when you purchase. It's not going to move except for paying it down. Whereas a home equity line of credit, you can, it's more of a revolving debt. It's
okay.
more like you pay it down and then you can take it out again. You can pay it down. We have one of those on our house, my husband and I, and we use it for when we need to buy a car. So I don't ever go and get a car loan. I can negotiate cash price with the car people because I'm going to bring in my own financing. And then we just pay off the car loan. I'm putting air quotes
yes.
to ourself. Exactly. So I'm using my equity for myself, but I'm not paying off
whatever
credit
the interest
card
rates.
Debt.
Right.
And then what's going to happen?
So you're not
if
just
you
transferring
learn,
debt or yes. revolving debt to other revolving
exactly.
debt. Okay.
To static debt.
Oh, okay, got it.
The static
okay.
debt.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you're subjecting yourself to, if you haven't learned your credit card lesson, that what are you going to do now? Guess what? No balance on my new credit card. I'm going shopping.
That's not how you're supposed to do it. No.
No. No. You got to learn lesson when
yes.
you're going to do that.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
We have a conversation about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this I'm feverishly watching Sonny. I know you guys are both looking at me. If everybody mm-hmm. wonders why we got quiet for a second, it's because they're looking at me because they know that we have phone callers and we have to pick. So Sonny, what are we doing over here real quick? Because okay.
All right. Let's keep talking about the line of credit.
Okay.
Wait, hold on a second. Let's like
we have a question from someone named Jennifer. She's on the line right now.
There we go.
Somebody.
All right, Jennifer, are you there?
I'm here.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Jennifer.
And I apologize, Jennifer, if we sound so amazed. It's just that we've been changing our phone system here. So Sonny and I are both looking at each other like, is this working? So thank you very much for calling, Jennifer. We appreciate it. So you have a credit card question for our good friends, Shelly and Mimi?
I do.
Okay.
So I filed bankruptcy about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it went off my credit last fall. And I got a new credit card with a 10.9% interest.
Okay.
And I transferred my 27% interest credit cards to this credit card.
Okay, good.
So now the high interest credit cards are at zero. Do I close them?
No.
Or just leave them sitting there?
Just leave them sitting there. I know that's a big, scary interest rate, and it's probably counterintuitive for you to not close that credit card. But here's what's going to happen if you close it. So you just opened a new credit card. I don't know where you are in the limit of it when you transfer over this balance, but now you've got a whole bunch of balance on a brand new credit card, and you've got this other established credit card out there then that would be at zero. Keeping that card at zero open will help counter the negative impact to the new trade line that you just opened up. Okay. Kind of follow that. Okay. So, but keep that other one open and don't close it. Like charge a pair of socks every 6 months or something on it. Just don't forget to pay it off when you get the bill in the mail and you forget to, no,
don't let it, yeah, don't let it roll month to month. No,
yeah,
just take care of it.
And you know, Jennifer, if you should really sit down and talk with Shelly or have a conversation with her on the phone, and she'll pay you $100 if you do it for the time, for real. Because she can go over all of that stuff with you and maybe map out a plan for you if you're ever thinking about buying property again after your bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. She would be absolutely fabulous.
What? I also refinanced my mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and I realized that my current bank was not reporting the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That I had been paying my mortgage on time for 10 years.
But that's because you probably included it in your bankruptcy and redeemed it.
Yep.
And so that's why, because Minnesota state law states that they cannot report anything that's been included in the bankruptcy. So the bank didn't do anything wrong there, nor did any of the other creditors that were part of that. The bank rules are they cannot report it. We see that a lot when we pull for new loans for people. It's like, I thought you had a mortgage. Well, I do. I'm paying it every month. Well, it's not showing on here. Oh, you had a bankruptcy. Oh, it was in there. So that's kind of how we kind of detectively pull those curtains back. But yeah, that's exactly accurate. So,
can you ask the bank to report so it shows positive instead of negative?
Well, you can, but they won't because the state law will override your wishes. So, yeah, that's why.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, thanks,
question.
Jennifer.
Excellent question.
Yep. And I'm sure Sonia will get your information. We appreciate that. Jennifer, we appreciate you being part of the show. We also have another caller on the line, ladies. So, Kirsten, it's your turn. You have a question regarding credit and a divorce?
Yes. I got divorced in 2014, and I had done a quick claim deed, so I didn't have rights to the property. But my ex-husband then went almost into foreclosure, and then he did a quick sale or short sale. And then also there were some other things that were in the divorce decree that were his half of the bills, and a lot of those he didn't honor. And so my name is on them, but they're all negative marks on my credit score, and I don't know. Even though it was in the divorce decree, you know, of course, they still see it as partly my responsibility. I didn't know if there's anything I can do with that.
Boy, well, sorry to hear that.
Yes, that's my first thing is I'm so sorry you had to go through that. And your story, Jennifer, is one I hear so often. People, you know, aren't educated. Like the people that advise you to do the quick claim deed and your divorce will take care of it and yada, yada. They don't understand the credit ramifications of it, or they don't consider that in their advice to you. And so the reality is, so the divorce decree is going to help you a little bit here, because that's going to back up your story. What we should do, Jennifer, if you're comfortable with that, is
Kirsten.
I'm stuck on the last caller. Yes. Kirsten. Okay. Let's get in touch with one another this week. Let's do the soft credit pull and let me give you an analysis of that credit report and tell you what to do because that stuff's all happened in the past. Now we got to work. At least he's done the damage he's going to do. You know what I mean? You're done with that damage. Let's fix what we can. Let me tell you what to do with what's left on the credit report. And then I can help navigate if you're in the market to buy a house with the underwriter as to this was his. See the divorce decree. Here's the letter. All of that.
So, Kirsten, did I understand you to say that he had a short sale?
You know, I think so. I don't know exactly, and now it's been 6 years, so I can't remember. I know it was an unusual sale, but it wasn't just a normal sale.
It's really unfortunate that the advice you got was to do a quick claim deed. It really sincerely is, but I do think that sitting down with Shelley to go over this with you so she can actually look at it and see what is still reporting would be just a great use of an hour, you know, and she can help navigate you to, you know, what you should do and what you should look out for. And if you end up needing a referral for a real estate attorney, we can help you with that as well.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I'm remarried now and we own a home, but we tried to refinance and put my name on it. They wouldn't let me be on it. Right. They wouldn't approve it with me on it.
Right. Well, there's ways to get over that. And really what we need to focus on is getting your score where it needs to be, because that damage will damage the score. And an underwriter can look the other way to the stuff, but they can't look the other way to the score. And so we need to reconcile that and see what we can do to build you.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Thank you, Kirsten. And Sonia will get her information. We appreciate that. And that's why it is good to sit down with somebody like Shelley to sit there and go, these are the things that we can get, you know, erased, taken off, corrected, but will it really make a difference sometimes? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what can we actually do to move you towards positivity?
That's one of the things that happened to one of my clients early in my career, where it was a couple that bought a house together, but they separated and, you know, she just thought, well, I'm just going to quit claim my name off of the deed and that'll take it away. But it didn't. And we can kind of tie that up when we come back. But we also want to talk a little bit about escrows, what they are and how Shelley can help with that.
Right. We can also take your call and your questions at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back on the Red Hot Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the Red Hot Real Estate Show here on MyTalk 107.1 and streaming on MyTalk107.1.com. Mimi Shoneman from the Red Hot Real Estate Group and RE/MAX Results is with us. Shelley Ferris from Sierra Pacific Mortgage is here as well. And you can be part of the show by calling 651-641-1071.
Okay, so we're going to tie this up a little bit. If you've got questions about real estate or mortgage that we don't have time to cover in this brief hour, it goes so fast. Be sure and reach out to us during the week. And Shelley, people can call you where?
My number is 612-839-6918.
And you can message me, Mimi, at mnredhotrealestate.com. Don't forget the MN part. And you can call 651-578-2218. So let's just finish up talking about the last caller, Kirsten, and the quick claim deed and why that doesn't take her off of the obligation to repay.
Right. Okay, good. So quit claim, you're quitting your claim on the property. That has to do with the property itself, the ownership of the property itself. Nothing to do with the loan that was used to buy the property itself. So when you did the loan, you both, married people, agreed to pay the bank back.
Right.
When the divorce attorney and the judge says, oh, you don't have to, you're just going to sign a quick claim deed, that's to the property specific, not to the debt. The divorce attorney, the divorce judge doesn't get to say you don't have to anymore.
Yeah.
You so agreed to them.
You've basically given up your rights to the property, but you still have to make sure that it gets paid for. So
right.
if you've got somebody that is not paying, that's what's going to happen. It's right. going to affect your credit, and you are going to be involved with the repayment or getting it settled somehow.
Right.
And so that's the thing. If somebody tells you to quit claim it, there's more to the story.
Because mm-hmm. we've talked about that before mm-hmm. where it seems like it would be the easy way. You go, okay, right. as part of this, I'm going to let them have the house. I'm going to move out. I'm not going to worry about it. So you think you're done. And then on more than one occasion, we've talked to people who are yep. going, no, you are not done. And that's why they go back and go, no, you and this person need to sit down with your attorney. And they need to get rid of this house. We have to sell it mm-hmm. or they have to buy you out.
Right.
And they talk about that.
Right. Well, you know? A lot of times, too, in the down market, especially, people were stuck with those kinds of things because mm-hmm. it was upside down. They owed more on it than they could sell it for. And you know how that goes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people just want to sit and wait it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't help sometimes if somebody becomes underemployed
yes.
or unemployed right. and then they miss payments. And then it's like, oh, no, you know. My other person is out of work now, and it's affecting my credit.
Exactly. Yeah, so, that credit piece is the piece where it's tied to, and that's troubling. I mean, that's hard to navigate through.
It's very difficult yes. when you're already dealing with a divorce to sit there and go, well, right. part of the problem is because my spouse, regardless of what side you're on, makes bad financial decisions.
Right.
And so now you want to dissolve that, mm-hmm. but now you can't walk away. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be difficult. It's mm-hmm. a difficult thing to navigate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about escrows. So I'll have you define escrows from a mortgage okay. perspective.
Okay, so escrows, there's two different definitions, really. Escrow, you can escrow your homeowner's insurance and your taxes. That means you're putting a portion of that annual taxes or annual homeowner's insurance as part of your payment. Most people escrow taxes and insurance. But what we're going to reference right now is when, let's say that that appraiser that we started off talking about goes through your house, miraculously it appraises for the $300,000 that you bought it for. Yay! Except for he calls work orders. And so okay. he says, okay, the house is worth that, but you got to install the, or you have to paint.
Okay.
Paint's a great one to talk about in Minnesota right now, because mm-hmm. who's going to paint? It's flipping cold outside
right.
and the paint doesn't adhere. So what are you going to do with that? You're stuck.
Yes.
So does that mean that no houses that have flaking and peeling paint can close in Minnesota until May?
Right.
And you can't, after October, all bets are off? No, that's not what it means. And if you're being told that, ladies and gentlemen, you are talking to a lender that's not able to escrow for the work.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
So now let's say the seller says that they'll pay for the paint. Okay. So we're going to take some money from the sellers, hold it with the title company to ensure that the painter will come when it's springtime and the paint will adhere and they'll fix it. Many, many lenders will not allow that. It puts risk on the lender, especially if they're selling off the loan somewhere.
Okay.
These are lenders that are not direct to Fannie and Freddie. We've talked about this in the past. These are lenders that have overlays. You may even hear that terminology when they're talking to you about it. Maybe the bank in town doesn't dig escrow because mm-hmm. they've got to go back, make sure the house gets done, make sure the payment was what it was supposed to be. They set the bill before they you even closed, and maybe it's more paint than what they thought, yada 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 yada, lot of risk to the
Fair
investor
enough.
At the end. So if you're being told that, if you're being told, sorry, loan denied, we can't escrow in Minnesota, you need to call me immediately. Like,
gotcha.
Don't wait until tomorrow. Call me or Mimi today, okay? And we're going to get you fixed
mm-hmm.
because that doesn't have to happen. Another famous one, septic. Who's going to dig a septic in February
exactly.
in Minnesota? Nobody.
No.
The trucks aren't even allowed to be out on the road until the middle of May.
Right.
So then you can't close. No, you can close. You can close with an escrow. And we can talk to you about that. What they're basically doing is we are acknowledging as a lender that that thing needs to be fixed. Okay.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
So let's just use the septic as an example.
Okay.
There are lots of cities and counties that require certain parameters about septics.
Right.
And you have to follow those rules if you're going to sell the property.
Right.
So let's just say that, yes, the septic failed in the test
yes.
that the seller got, and it's going to cost $15,000.
That's
the estimate that they gave them.
Yes.
Some lenders will say, nope. That's going to have to come out of somebody's pocket
mm-hmm.
and nobody's got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But they could come to you and you could do that. Is that what you're saying?
Nope, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it is still going to come out of somebody's pocket, but we're going to allow you to close. Let's say you're closing next week. We're going to allow you to close and we're going to take money from the seller or money from you or both or whatever you guys negotiate. And we're going to hold that money 1.5 times whatever it is that the bill is.
Got it.
So if the bill is 15, they're going to hold 22 to make sure that it's really covered. Because sometimes people underbid stuff just to get the deal. And then, oops, now my bill is this much. And now you can't cover the thing that you needed to
have
fixed.
With the money
you had put away. So they're going to do 1.5 times. Then in the spring when we're good to go, they're going to go in there, pop in that septic, take the money from the escrow account that's been set up with the title company or the lender. Sometimes it's set up with the lender. If there's any money left over because we did 1.5 times, it goes back to whoever ponied up the money.
Gotcha.
And typically in that situation, you'd see a seller do that because it was their equipment that failed. Okay, let's talk about the paint and wrap up the show. So we do see a lot of peeling paint here. You know, that's something that people can put off and it's like you don't see it anymore because you come in the back. You know, so if a house, for instance, a buyer can't buy a house because the seller has peeling paint, but they don't have the money to paint it up front or it's too cold to do it, they could call you.
Right. And so then we can escrow for that exterior paint, scraping, paint chips removed and repainting. Let's say that we pony up $1,000 because it's not going to cost much. It's just this one area or whatever. And that's way more money than a bucket of paint and a painter's going to charge for an afternoon, I hope. But and then you just get your money back after closing.
Right.
So yeah, you post the money with the title company or the lender. Then the work gets done in the spring. They call the appraiser in the spring. Then he comes back to the property, sees that the house is done, and then they release the money from the title company.
I'm glad that we have options out there.
Absolutely. So thanks, everybody, for listening today. And thanks for all of our great callers that called in with your questions. We know that that always helps everybody that thinks about those same kind of questions. And be sure to check out our show links on the show page.
Yes, you can find them at mytalk1071.com, keyword red hot.